Psalm 46. We're going to start in Romans chapter 11. As everybody knows, or most everybody knows, I don't think everybody knows, but most everybody knows that in a few minutes we're going to be having a business meeting, which is just part of doing business. But several months ago, I would say back last November, the church voted to take on the next unit over, so that now we have six units, and the renovation of that unit would be coming up. And over the last several weeks or months, actually since January, we've been putting together proposals from subcontractors and different things and all that needs to take place. And about 4 weeks ago, the final numbers started coming in, and every time we got a number from a subcontractor, my heart would sink. And you know, it just kept getting more expensive and more expensive, and next thing I know, I started carrying a heavy burden of finance. And those of you that know me know that I do not like money. I hate money. But I started carrying this really heavy load, and for about the last month, it was getting to the point where it was causing me a lot of trouble. And when we left, we left last Friday. That burden was really heavy, and I was really struggling through how in the world are we gonna, you know, this is a lot of money, and I kept thinking to myself, how am I going to raise $46,000? And the burden of that was just so overwhelming that when we left for Oregon, it was just weighing me down. And on Saturday, I received a call from a dear friend. Two dear friends. And they recognized that I had been carrying this burden. They didn't know what it was, I don't believe. They just knew it was a burden. And as I shared with them the burden, their recommendation to me, or to us really, because the four of us were on the phone together, was to commit it to prayer. And not just me praying, but us as a church to pray. And so that started me thinking. And so in a few minutes, when I'm done sharing my heart here in a few minutes, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to, as a church, and we're going to pray. And we're going to seek God's wisdom. So that was step one of lifting the burden off of my shoulder. And the conference started on Monday, and the preaching was good on Monday. But Tuesday morning, there were two sessions in the morning on Tuesday that I think God had ordained just for me. The first of the two speakers spoke out of Romans chapter 11, And I'm not going to re-preach two sermons, okay? So we would be here a long time. But I wanted to share with you what God shared with me through these two sermons. In Romans chapter 11, let's start reading in verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given him, given to him, and it shall be recompense unto him again. Verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To whom be honor, to whom be glory forever. Amen. His outline of these passages, if you're curious, I'll give you his outline. Verses 30 to 32 would demonstrate the mercy of God. Verses 33 to 35 demonstrates the majesty of God. He asks questions in verses 34 and 35. And verse 34, it says, who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Who gives God advice? Not me. No one. He talked about the majesty of God. But in verse 36, he broke it down. His third point was the measure of God. Of him. And through him. And to him. All things. Of him and through him and to him are all things. And as I sat and I listened to this message, I kept hearing over and over and over in my head, I got this, Rick. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, how much can I do? Nothing. As I sat there and I pondered the thought of him, and through him And to him do all things exist and are all things. And then he made reference to the passage we just read in John 15. Without him, I can do nothing. I can accomplish nothing. And as I was carrying this load, it was as though God was telling me in my voice, the voice in my head, Rick, you can do nothing. You can't raise $46,000. But I wasn't there yet. I'm stubborn. Anybody with me on that? But I've got to. That's what I kept saying. But I'm arguing with God at this point. I've got to. We've got to do this project. Then the next speaker came. Turn over to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46, let's start reading in verse 1. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountain be carried into the midst of the sea, though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall heap her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Sounds like there's a lot of trouble going on, right, in the psalmist's life right here, does it not? Yeah. Verse 8, come behold the work of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He read this psalm that as I just read, and as I sat there, still struggling with God in his message, he probably preached for 2 hours. I don't know, but I only heard one thing, and that is in verse 10. And I that's all I heard. Was what he brought out something in verse 10 that really incredibly spoke to my heart. And that is the two words, be still. Be still. I didn't know this, but he explained that it is a single Hebrew word. And I ended up, when I got home, I looked it up just to make sure. And it is. It's just one Hebrew word. Don't ask me to say it because I can't. But the phrase, be still, in English, literally means this. To stop, back up, and let go. That would be the easiest way to explain it in English, to be still. And as I was sitting there arguing with God about my burden that I just loved carrying, all I heard was, stop, back up, and let go. He illustrated the words be still this way. He said, what would you think if I were to throw a rope around the piano and I were to tie a knot and get it, and then I was to pull the piano around the auditorium? Would I get very far? No. But he said this. He said, what if you were to stop, back up and let go, and let God pull the piano? Could God do it?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. But what happens? Me, I can only speak for myself. I put my shoulder to the work. I've got to do this. I've got to find a way to do it. I'm the one who has to solve the problem. And God challenged me with this thought of being still. To just stop. Let go. So that, at, I don't know, it was before lunch, so I would say probably around noon, 11, 12 o'clock, somewhere around there. I let go. I was just tired of pulling the piano. I went forward at the invitation and confessed my sin and asked God to start pulling for me. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the project in Eunice 1, 11, and 12. But before we go there, I want to ask you, are you trying to pull a piano? Is there a load, a burden in your life that you're carrying that you need to give to God? You need to be still. You need to just stop. Back up and let God. Way too often in our lives, we try to do everything ourselves. I know I do. 1 Kings. As I was pondering this on the way back from Oregon, the Lord brought me to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 19 and a man named Elijah. Elijah is an interesting character in the Bible, and as I was driving, I was thinking about Elijah and in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 to 13. After Elijah had done the miracle on Mount Carmel and called down fire, and God consumed his offering, and they just had this incredible revival break out in Israel. Elijah's life was threatened, and he panicked, and he ran. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11, it says, and he said, go forth. Let me stop here. God finds Elijah eventually in a cave. And he's hiding in the cave, and he's exhausted, he's tired, he's emotionally, he's spent. Some people even think he was dealing with a depression. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great wind, a great and strong wind rent the mountain and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out, and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, saying, what doest thou here, Elijah? And I felt like when he was preaching this message and saying, hey, you just need to stop, back up, and let go. It was almost as though God was saying to me, Rick, what are you doing here? What are you doing carrying my load? This is not your load to carry. This is mine. What are you doing here? So I gave it to God. And I reminded myself that this is not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. And we're about to do His business. So, we're gonna stop and we're gonna pray as a church. Not yet, no. We're gonna stop and we're gonna pray. And I want you to pray about specific things, because it doesn't just do any good for us to just pray and say, God bless us. That, no. First thing. Okay, we got a prayer list thing going here. I actually put together a PowerPoint presentation for this. Yeah. You're impressed, eh, Brian? Nice. Yeah. The first thing that we're going to pray about is the finances. Okay? And what we're going to do here in a few minutes is we're going to break up like we do on Wednesday night into small groups, and we're going to pray for this list, and we're going to leave it up on the screens. So there'll be two screens here. There's one in the back, so that as you pray together as a family or individuals, it doesn't matter. This list will be up there for you to reference. But the first thing we're going to do is pray about the finances, because the reality is this: it's God's money. We're just the caretakers of His money, and we need His wisdom. The second thing we're going to pray about is volunteers. We need help. Next slide, please. Oh. Okay, we need help. And The volunteers are broken down into two categories. The first one is work. I didn't know how else to do this. Next slide, please. There we go. We have a lot of physical labor to do. Okay? Tearing down walls, building walls, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of physical labor that needs to take place. The second thing that we need is food. We're going to need people that can cook and bring food to feed people. Okay? So we're going to need help. We're going to need volunteers. The next thing we need to pray for is safety. if you've never been on a construction site, things can happen. And just pray for safety, that everybody stays safe and that the work gets done injury-free, put it that way. The next thing that we need to pray about are the permits. How do I want to say this? The permits to getting plans through the city can be exhausting. Okay, it doesn't happen overnight. It used to be when I first started getting in construction, I could walk into a municipality, walk in with a set of plans, and walk out with a permit. It doesn't work that way anymore. Much more detailed, so that the process would be quick, I guess is how we need to pray, because the quicker we get the permits, the quicker we can start. The next thing is subcontractors. In construction, I've been around it. Brian has, Bob has. Subcontractors can be frustrating. Okay, so just pray for the subcontractors that they stay on schedule and we get everything done in a timely manner, which is the last one, timely completion of the project. We want it done as soon as possible, on budget. And so these are some things that we can pray about as a church family. If you want to write these down, pray for them over the next several weeks, that would be awesome. But right now, we're going to break up into small groups, and we're going to pray for these things. And if you have any questions, just pray from the list, okay? And then once we're done praying, then we can then we'll start the business meeting. Okay, so let's pray, and when everybody's done praying, we'll go to the next thing. Okay, so yeah, go ahead and stop the live stream.